All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. It's episode 9, June 28th, 2017, special birthday edition. My Larry Bird birthday, or if you're a bigger Patriots fan, maybe it's a Kevin Falk birthday. I don't know, depending on which.
Or Jason Veritek birthday.
Or Jason Veritek, right?
Or okay. Zdeno Chara birthday.
Oh, look at that, all four sports. All right, so we got all four of you covered. Wherever you want to go, you pick one. But, you know, you got to pick one. All right, so anyways, today we're going to be talking about some Celtic stuff. Well, more NBA draft. Some Celtic stuff as well in there, but really want to talk about the draft, winners, losers, things like that. And then obviously how it relates to the Celtics. Also want to talk some Red Sox today for the first time. So I know some of you have been waiting for the Red Sox. Can't say it's all going to be positive. Can't say it's all going to be positive, but it's going to be mostly positive. Okay,
it's only 4th of July weekend.
That's true.
We're finally getting there.
So, and as Mike said, if you're not constantly pissed at the Red Sox, you're not a real Red Sox fan. So, and then I also do, we're also going to do a little bit of Colin Kaepernick today. We haven't really talked about it at all, and I think it's worth mentioning. Obviously, a lot of people have mentioned it before. So that's that. Okay. Also wanted to give a big shout out to MDOT for the intro and outro music as well. You can hit him up on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, at MDOT Boston. He's also on Spotify, and his newest album, Ego and the Enemy, is on iTunes. You can hit us up on Twitter or by email. It's at WKNDWARPOD. And it's this email is exactly the same, at gmail.com. So it's weekend with no E's, WKNDWARPOD at gmail.com. Okay, so, you know, email us, tweet us, leave some markings in a cave for us to find in 2,000 years. Do whatever you got to do to get at us, and we'll get back to you. All right? So with that, we'll get started. All right, so as I said, definitely wanted to start off with some NBA draft stuff. So as always, as we know, as we should know, Celtics traded out of the number one spot to get the number three pick and picked up a first-round pick next year. That first-round pick is the Lakers' pick, but it's top one protected, and it can't drop below five. So if it's not between two and five, it gets kicked to 2019, and it becomes Sacramento's pick. And again, it's just top one protected.
That's risky.
And if it becomes number one, then you get Philadelphia's. It's just like a fucking mess, okay? But either way, they're either getting a first-round pick next year between 2 and 5, or they're getting a first-round pick between 2 and 30 in 2019. So that's the way it works. All that for the number three pick. And look, Danny Ainge said, whoever we're taking at three is who we were taking at one, so it didn't matter, okay?
Now, I don't believe that, though. You believe that?
Kind of do.
Yeah.
Well, look, and we said it on the podcast last week. You're not trading for value, right? If he really wanted Markelle Fultz, and Markelle Fultz was the guy he was taking at one, and he was the guy that he wanted that can change the Celtics, he's taking him. I mean, I think he'd be stupid not to. I mean, right. Put it this way: if he changed his mind about Markelle Fultz because of the package or some crap like that, then he's a fucking idiot because you have to get the guys. The players are the most important thing. It's not about value. As I said, it's not an NFL thing. It's a very Bill Belichick thing to do, is to trade back and get extra assets. But it doesn't work in the NBA. You need workhorses. And so if you thought Markelle Fultz was that guy that was going to change your organization, you have no choice but to take him.
But you don't think he's just addicted to accumulating assets and that's why he made the trade?
I really hope not. I really hope not. And look, there's been a lot of, and we'll get into some of the rumors, there's been a lot of rumors flying around, and I just pray to God that they come to fruition, because at a certain point, you're going to have to get rid of some of the assets that you have, you know, at a certain point. So we'll just see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the picks, and I know we're not really going to touch on this till probably next week with the offseason and all that, but I mean, I don't know if I said this last week, but just trade them all, because if you get Hayward and George, you're all set. You don't need the picks anymore.
Right.
And they probably still will make the picks, but it's just a waste, you know?
Well, I mean, you say it's a waste, but then what if the kid coming out this year is LeBron James next year?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But you know what I mean? And so you just, now it doesn't matter next, well, it does matter next year because you could have Brooklyn and they could be number one again. But, you know, you could theoretically be at 1 and 2 next year.
Yeah.
Like, could you fucking imagine if the Celtics went into the offseason with the number one, number two pick? That'd be fucking stupid. They'd get the two best players in the draft, and then if they really wanted to, they could trade one of those picks for a superstar and still have a top two pick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens. Look, to me, and, you know, this is a Belichick thing, never draft a guy at one that you can get at three, right? Yeah. If you target that guy, and this is, you know, everyone shits on Belichick for trading down and doing this and doing that, but if you look at the trades that he's made, it's because they're targeting a specific guy, and we're not taking him at 29, right? When they drafted Jamie Collins, they traded back to 52 or 40, whatever number it was, because they said, well, we're not taking him at 29. That's stupid.
Yeah.
We can get him in the 40s or 50s, so let's trade 29, go back to the 40s or 50s, pick up a shitload of extra picks, and still draft the guy that we want. Right? Whereas when he targeted Dont'a Hightower and Chandler Jones, he moved up to get those guys because he said, those are the two guys that I want. Yeah. So it's about targeting your guys. So if you're trading just for assets, just to gain extra assets, you're failing. You're not doing your job if that's what you're doing. And so, and if that was, if really that was what Ainge was doing, then he should get crucified for
just
that.
Just because he said, you know, back in 07 that he would have picked Durant over Oden if he had the number one pick. And I don't believe that because Oden was, at the time, Oden was such a clear-cut number one. Like a big guy. No one really knew about his injury history.
That is true. However, I mean, Danny Ainge was like best friends with Kevin Durant's mom and they were sitting together and he was like all about, I mean, during the process, before the lottery, like it was pretty obvious who the Celtics were taking. I thought at least.
Really?
And maybe not.
I thought it was Oden.
Yeah, I mean, some people have thought about that, but I don't know. I thought it was Durant, in my opinion. You know, looking back and seeing where they were at. Now, obviously, it didn't matter anyways, and that's, again, another interesting topic we can talk about at some point, where if they get one or two and take Durant, then
we're still rebuilding.
Then they don't. Then they never win a championship, right? Because they ended up at five, and they traded that pick, and, you know, the rest is history. But, I mean, look, you know, you can have it. We can argue either way. I just think, in my opinion, they had their eyes on Tatum. I'd like to think, at least.
I like the pick.
You know, I'd like to think they had their eyes on Tatum. Tatum wasn't my number one guy. We talked about who our number one guy was, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But he was there. He was second on my list. And so, you know, I mean, at least they didn't take fucking Jackson. So
I don't like that he went to Duke, because I'm not really confident in any Duke players, because honestly, none of them really pan out, and they're all role players.
Right. Well, except for Kyrie.
Yeah. Right. But in Grant Hill.
Yeah, but that was like 30 years ago.
Exactly.
Right. Right. No, and that's true. I mean, so we'll see what happens.
But I do him. Like from the videos I've watched of Tatum, I like him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't know really until you see the kid in person and you watch him play in the NBA. But he seems like he's a good player, you know, big guy. Mm-hmm. As Brad said, he's positionless. So we'll see what happens. So,
yeah.
So anyway, so we like the pick. We're happy with it. I'll tell you, you know, we were on the Boston Sports Talk. Well, who knows when the podcast will get released, but we were on the Boston Sports Talk the other day, and they were talking about, you know, how would you grade it, the Celtics wise, and I said, you know, it's an incomplete at this point. If they don't make a move, I'm not going to be happy with where they're at, because they had the assets
they
to
have
move.
To make the move.
They have to make a move this summer, you know, and I think Nick Cato's tweeted out, you know, this is the summer of change in the NBA. Like, the Celtics need to get on the train and pick up some of these big guys. Even if it's George just for 1 year, I don't care. If it's George just
for
1 year, absolutely. Because here's the thing. If you can take him for 1 year and you can keep IT and Bradley together, now you're talking about IT, Bradley, George, Hayward, and Horford all together. There's your starting five.
Yeah.
And then you throw in Jaylen Brown and Tatum coming off the bench, and, you know, whoever else is coming off the bench as well, your team is solid, I think, can compete in the East.
I think they can win the East.
Yeah, and so I think you give yourself a chance there. Now, if George is going to stay long-term, then we can talk about sending Avery Bradley. But if you're only getting it for 1 year, I don't want to send Avery Bradley, because to me, you're all in on 1 year.
Yeah, and that impacts the offer.
Right, exactly. Because if I'm all in on 1 year, then I'm saying I'm keeping everybody that I possibly can.
I'll trade you Crowder and one of our picks.
Right,
and
Tyler Zeller.
And maybe like another pick we got from someone else. Yeah,
right.
That is an important pick.
Or even, you know, the Clippers pick next year in 2019, or, you know, some variation of those picks. I will send those picks, you know, to whoever wants it. But,
yeah.
You know, if it's 1 year deal, it's going to be tough for me to part with that. Maybe the Lakers pick next year. If it's a 1 year deal, if I'm giving up no players, if I'm not giving up any real players, if I'm giving up Jay Crowder and Zeller, and you say, okay, we'll take Jay Crowder and we'll take Zeller, but we want the Lakers pick next year, then I'd do that, because I think it's worth it for 1 year to say we're going after it for 1 year to try to win the championship or at least win the East for 1 year. And you say, okay, you give up the lottery pick next year, you still have Brooklyn's pick. And who knows, maybe the Lakers end up picking someone up and they're not even a lottery team next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets bumped to 2019 and somehow Sacramento wins the lottery and Philly makes the playoffs and they get a fucking mid-teens pick or something like that, you know? So who knows? But to me, if it's George, for 1 year, I'm not trading any of my big-time players that really contribute on my team on a night-to-night basis.
But if, say they sign Hayward, and that's part of the thing that George wants.
Yes.
It is Hayward. If they sign Hayward, say, this coming Monday or Tuesday, and then you would think the George trade would happen later in the month, do you trade the house for him? Like, all the picks? Anyone except Bradley? Do you think Indiana wants? You would think that they would want picks more than
probably
want talent.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I do not trade Brooklyn's pick next year. I'm not giving up Brooklyn's pick next year. I'm not doing it because
I trade that Lakers pick. And
I would,
and really any other pick they want.
Absolutely, every pick that we own except for the Brooklyn pick next year is up for grabs, as far as I'm concerned. Especially if George is gonna give his 3 years, because if you bring Hayward,
even trade the Brooklyn pick.
See, it just scares me because the Brooklyn pick could be number one next year. What if Brooklyn pick ends up being number one next year and you traded it for Paul George? And what if
you're fine because, say, if Tatum pans out and if Jaylen Brown becomes who we think he's going to become, then it won't matter.
Well, and you're right, but here's the problem. This is the problem that I have.
Paul George is 27, mind you.
That's true.
A lot of prime years left in him.
That is true. But what if, let's just say, what if this incarnation of the Celtics isn't good enough to win a championship? Let's just say that Paul George, IT, Horford. By the way, if you keep Paul George, you're not re-signing IT next year. So keep that in mind, unless you're dumping Horford. You can't have four max guys on your team. So if you're re-signing Paul, if you're re-upping Paul George for 3 years, it means that IT's gone after this year.
I think
really only have 1 year, right? So that's a problem. Yeah. Unless someone will take Horford's contract and you value IT over Horford. So you're going to have to make a tough decision somewhere. So to me, I just look at it and say, I'm not giving up the future. Because you have a big, bright future with these three Brooklyn picks, right? You got Jaylen Brown, who we already think is on his way to superstardom.
Yeah.
You have Tatum, who knows? I mean, a lot of people say he looks like Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
If he ends up being Paul Pierce, like, we're good. Okay? But even still, even with that being said, you need a third guy, and you have that. If this ends up being the number one pick and you traded it for Paul George, you never win a championship with Paul George, you're going to look back and say, fuck, did we really fuck that up? Especially if the Lakers pick a lottery pick next year. So you traded like one, say you traded like 1 and 3
for Paul George. Yeah.
And two or three of the guys that get drafted early lottery next year end up being studs and you never win a championship. Like, then that haunts you forever if you're a Celtics fan. Right?
It's a good position to be in. Like, most teams would want this, but I just can't take it anymore. I can't take game one of the conference finals watching the lottery.
It's brutal. It is brutal. I mean, I'm with you on that. It is brutal. I will say, even after everything's happened, Adam Kaufman came out and he's been on the George and Hayward train forever. And, you know, shout out to Adam Kaufman for that. And I hope he's right. But I still put the odds at 51% 51% that both? That happens. Absolutely. Because to me, it's a 50-50 shot, and I lean a little bit more towards them getting it than not getting it. Yeah. But 51%, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm still, until they both sign on the dotted line, I'm not sold.
I can see the press conference happening, though.
Oh, Lord. But that would be so awesome.
I don't like that Pat Riley has first dibs on Gordon Hayward.
He may not.
He's going to wear the rings.
Oh, is he?
He's the godfather.
Yeah, because it's Saturday, right? Yeah. He's going to be known Saturday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fucking, fuck you, Pat Riley. Who cares about Miami? I know, but you know what? Sorry, buddy. Like, you know, it is what it is. Although, slight problem, Gordon Hayward is a Tom Brady hater, which is not good for us. He can't bring, although Brady wasn't able to seal the deal against Durant, although I still blame Kelly Olynyk for that, but nevertheless.
Well, Kevin Durant's a Redskins fan. Only good thing I like about him.
Oh, Lord. No wonder why he went to fucking OKC. but you know, Butler growing up in Indiana, of course, hates Brady because he watched him beat Manning's face in his entire Colts career. So, you know, that one might not work. But we can bring Ortiz instead, maybe. Something. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But I was a little concerned to hear that one. I was like, oh,
well, Brady. Why do we need these guys to sign someone? Like, shouldn't it be enough that you're playing for the Boston Celtics?
No. I mean, it should be, but it isn't. It should
be enough.
It like, should be, but it isn't.
The
because,
banners. Like,
no, because Miami's like, take a look at the beach and the fucking naked women walking around that's and true. Shit. And his wife, you know, his wife maybe doesn't come with him
look
on a trip.
Banners. Look at
you
our number 13. We retired for Dan Marino.
Oh, Lord.
And number 23 for Michael Jordan, who never played a game here.
Oh, the heat. Although, I mean, the Celtics shouldn't be talking about retiring numbers. But either way.
Tradition.
Yeah.
Stupid. Retiring numbers for guys who never played.
That's true.
Yeah. Walter Brown and Red Auerbach.
Yeah.
We've retired a microphone.
That's true. Good point. So, well, anyways, listen, so let's get back into the draft. We've gotten off on a Celtics tangent, which is okay. No, it's okay. It's not your fault. We just went off
on so much to talk about.
It's a problem, right? So we got off on a Celtics tangent, which is understandable because it's a Celtics, you know, it's a Boston-themed podcast. But I do want to just get into some quick winners and losers. First of all, one thing I thought was interesting, first of all, the Kings, I think, are the clear winners here.
Yeah, they had a good draft. Really
one
good.
Really interesting tidbit about the Kings is that they had three first-round draft picks. They traded number 10 for 15 and 20, which I thought was good for them. Mm-hmm. What was really interesting, though, was they drafted one guy from Kentucky, one guy from UNC, and one guy from Duke. So, like, the top three schools, you know? So, they took De'Aaron Fox at number 5, which I thought was a great pick.
Yeah, I like
him. We talked about him last week. Mm-hmm. He scares me a little bit because he can't shoot for anything. But, you know, a lot of people say he could be John Wall, which is great. The only problem is that he could also be Rajon Rondo, which wouldn't be great. I mean, Rondo's good, but he's not number decent, 5, you know? Yeah. So, UNC, they drafted Jackson from UNC, not that Jackson, the other Jackson, not the one that went to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So he should be solid. And then from Duke, they drafted Giles. And Giles was a top pick candidate, you know, big man, who had gotten hurt. And so, you know, that could be a big steal for them at 20. So, you know, really good draft for the Kings. They're still way in rebuilding mode. But, you know, in a few years, those picks could really pay off for them. So Vlade Divac is doing some big things, the GM of Sacramento. So, so good for him. The other thing, I guess the other, well, to me, when we talked about it last week, Jonathan Isaac was the guy for us. He was, I thought, the best player in the draft, at least as far as what he projected to be.
Yeah.
Orlando took him at 6. So I would say Orlando got the best pick in the draft, probably. And that's what we're going with. We're going with Jonathan Isaac was the best player. And so then, therefore, they got the best player in the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Golden State. Jordan Bell, who was the Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year, big man for Oregon, they fucking bought the draft pick. They just like paid for the draft. They paid like $2.5 million for the draft pick.
Really?
And they were just like, and they did exactly the same thing last year with Patrick McCaw. I think it's Patrick McCaw. Right? Well, McCaw's his last name. I'm pretty sure it's Patrick.
Yeah, it is.
It is, right? Okay. Yeah. Did exactly the same thing with Patrick McCaw. And then he wound up paying dividends for them in the finals, just coming off the bench and scoring. So they identified a need that they needed, like something they needed, and then they literally bought it from the draft. And they did it. Now, it was 2 years in a row they did it because they were looking for a good defensive rim protector. So they said, oh, Jordan Bell? Perfect. We're going to fucking buy that guy. So they literally just bought him. They didn't even have the draft pick. They just bought him. It's just like genius right there.
And as much as we all hate Golden State, and I would hope like all of our listeners hate them as much as we do, or at least I do, but they are just so good at drafting. That whole team was, for the most part, built through the draft.
Yeah.
Three quarters of it, at least.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, obviously the biggest piece is Durant, but Curry, Thompson, yeah. Draymond Green, and none of them were top five yeah. picks. None of them. So, you know, I mean, and some of them were free agency guys like Sean Livingston and guys, but you know, yeah, but and Iguodala, but like the main core guys are all right. drafted players. And like I said, they're not drafting at one or two. They were drafting at, you know, 7 or 11 or Draymond in the second round, yeah. or you know, you're hitting on those later picks, which not many teams can do.
Yeah, but I think those players kind of tend to hit more than they, you know, a top three pick, wouldn't you say so?
Well, there's more.
We'd have to look at. I know, but like, say, like, we'd have to look at the numbers. But I'm willing to say that a guy that's picked, you know, between 7 and 12, might end up having like a better career than a top three pick. You know, or it might be a solid, more solid player, depending on the draft, of course.
I'd say, like a few years. It's a hell of a
take. I'd have to do some research, and I'll come back with that in the next few weeks. But I don't know. A few years ago, Anthony Bennett was a number one pick.
That is true. Although the best player in that draft was Jetta. I mean, he was the Greek freak. But yeah, I mean, the second best player in that draft was Kelly Olynyk. So I mean, like, you know, maybe not the best example there.
Well,
but,
I know, but
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I like your
D'Angelo Russell just got traded. He was a number two pick only a couple of years ago.
Listen, I like your style of just throwing out a hot take without doing any research whatsoever.
Because it's awesome. Probably true.
It's probably a good take. Knowing you, it's probably totally true.
Instinct.
So it's very true. It's a good point. So, but hey, you know, I think you could be right. You could be onto something here. You really could be, because you're right. You know, Russell, some of these guys flame out at the top, and you're trying to get the best player and the, you know, the most well-rounded guy, and oh, this guy's a superstar, and then you end up missing that guy who's fundamentally sound, who can play the game, who plays with, you know, plays with heart and yeah. coachable and all that other stuff. And so,
because last year's draft's too early to tell, because it was Ingram, Simmons, and Jaylen Brown.
Right.
Year before, who was it? It was Wiggins.
Yep.
Embiid.
Yep.
And D'Angelo Russell.
Oh yeah, because Russell was two, yeah. right?
And Wiggins has turned out to
Russell
be a good
sucks.
Player,
Wiggins is decent, but Wiggins, I was reading something about Wiggins the other day where they're not happy with him there in Minnesota because he's not maturing like they would like him to. Yeah. So. You know, I mean, it's certainly a possibility, so.
But that team should be a solid team, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Especially after trading for Butler.
Yeah.
And actually, let's talk about the Jimmy Butler trade. I thought Minnesota crushed it.
Yes.
Especially getting, I mean, they moved down 9 spots
mm-hmm.
and picked up Jimmy Butler. Now, think about this. Everyone last year was screaming for the Celtics to draft Chris Dunn.
Yeah,
screaming for them to draft Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn just got traded with Zach LaVine.
Who isn't good.
Who is pretty good. Zach LaVine's decent. He's not great, but he's okay. Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and the number 7 pick for Jimmy Butler and 16.
Yeah, they got a first-round pick out of it, too.
They got a first-round pick out of it, too. So think about that. But think about if I'm the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
am I doing Jaylen Brown in that deal?
No.
No fucking way am I doing Jaylen Brown in that deal. And so, you know,
Olynyk and Smart, basically.
Right. Basically, right? I mean, it's like trading Olynyk and Smart. Yeah. So extremely disappointing rookie year. Already, everyone's already down on him. You know, I just think it's kind of crazy. And Butler, I thought they got way less than they should have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Zach LaVine can shoot and score. But he's just not. I mean, I don't think either of those guys are superstars. And they moved up to 7 for it. I thought that was nuts. So, but hey, you know.
Does that justify Danny not going for Jimmy Butler?
Well, it depends.
If the offer was, I think I read like Jay Crowder, Bradley, and the picks. And the picks weren't the problem. It was Bradley and
right, 100%.
And Crowder.
I mean, so. I would have given up Crowder for sure in a New York second. I would have given up Jay Crowder, but. You know, I'm not giving up Avery Bradley for Jimmy Butler.
Avery Bradley, a guy dropped 70 on him.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait a second. Chris Broussard, we'll get to you, you dumb motherfucker. We will get to you, okay? So, but not yet. Let's just hold off on Chris Broussard a little bit. I know you're like, you're ready to go at him, but let's just hold off on him for a second. But yes, Jimmy Butler, I mean, we'll see. I'm happy the Celtics didn't make the deal. I think with Paul George out there, he's a far superior player to Jimmy Butler. So to me, I want Paul George over Jimmy Butler, and if you think you can get that deal done, do it and forget about Jimmy Butler. That's my opinion. So, also, one other thing I wanted to say, too, quickly on Lonzo Ball. First of all, LeVar Ball. I know you're a big WWE guy. LeVar Ball is like the perfect heel.
Oh, totally.
Right?
He's like, done his homework.
Dude, he's found his lot in life. Like, this is it. He's found his career. So,
but as a WWE fan, I was disgusted by having them, because it's like...
Well, they jumped the shark already. I mean, think about that, dude. His son gets drafted on Thursday, and on Monday, he's on Raw.
Yeah, in Staples Center.
Unbelievable.
And his kid said the N-word twice.
No, he didn't, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Sweet. I swear,
Vince
kid.
Vince was not happy.
I would imagine he wasn't. Yeah. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? Lonzo will not be tamed. But I will say about Lonzo as a basketball player, shit, is he good, man.
He might be. He's probably the best player in the draft.
He probably was, and it's really unfortunate with his dad being such a fucking idiot. But
again,
they don't care. They just wanted him to get to LA, which is what happened.
Yeah.
But I mean, my God, dude, do you know he shot 73% from two? 73%.
He's Jason Kidd. I think it was Jay Billis who said that.
Yeah, I mean, they look the same. But
yeah.
But it was just 73%. Who the fuck shoots 73%? That's insane.
For a guard,
right. And so, and the reason why is because he's only taking good shots.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and the other thing too, which someone pointed out to me, there's a lot of hockey assists, right? He has a lot of assists that don't show up because he makes such a good pass to get somebody else wide open that someone else comes off it, and then another guy ends up wide open, and so he ends up with an easy shot, and so he doesn't technically get the assist on it, but his first initial good pass set up that easy shot. So, you know, really solid player. Again, I'm happy the Celtics didn't take him just because the whole fucking mess with his
dad.
He's
kind of made for the Lakers, and I'm glad to have another heel in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lonzo's very punchable himself.
He just has a face, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't really, like, say anything or do anything wrong, but I just still want to punch him.
He's just got a face.
Well, how about his little brother?
Yeah, LaMelo with his fucking hair.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, no kidding. No, they're all one. I mean, I teach middle school. They're all wannabe Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
They got the frosted tips and shit. It's like the 90s again. So, but hey, you know, whatever, dude. Whatever works for you. I mean, you could drop fucking 90 on a high school basketball team. We'll see how he does it at UCLA. Yeah. But yeah, you never know.
Asshole to want to do that. Drop 90 on a high school team.
Oh, when your dad's fucking screaming at you from the stands, you don't have much choice.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep shooting! You know, I mean, what are you going to do?
Big baller.
So, anyways, just lastly, very quickly, Semi from the second round. Looks like a beast. 40-inch vert.
They got him. That's a steal.
I think so, too.
He should have been a first-round pick.
Absolutely. So, 40-inch vert, and he shot 42% from three. So, you know, pretty good shooter. And honestly, he's Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
He's Jay Crowder's replacement, because Jay Crowder's
gone. Reason number
gone.
79 to get rid of Jay
79.
Crowder.
79? How about 479? Get him the fuck out of here. So, anything else you want to add on the NBA draft?
No, the Knicks drafting the French kid who had a game like that night.
Hey, dude, he had the championship game that night, and he skipped the championship game to go to the...
No, he flew right back.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude! I didn't realize he made the game because they were interviewing him like he was gonna miss the game.
No, he flew right back.
Oh my lord!
Of the time differences.
I hope they won.
Was okay. But yeah, just the Knicks and Phil Jackson gone today.
Yeah, the fucking Knicks.
Yeah, got $60 million just to leave.
Just to blow up the Knicks. I mean, totally blow them up.
And James Dolan having a concert the night of the draft with his stupid band.
It's just
rich billionaires.
It's just
that
the whole thing. The whole Knicks thing is just embarrassing. It really is terrible.
It's terrible.
I've been actually tweeting. We were tweeting with Clem from Barstool, and he's a Knicks fan.
Yeah,
just saying. your life just sucks. I mean, it just, it's like rooting for the, it's like rooting for the Patriots in the mid, in the, you know, mid '60s and '70s and '80s, and it's just like,
it's like being a Jets fan, and the thing is, like being a Jets fan. They like both teams.
Anyone that likes the Jets and the dude, fucking KFC from Boston, likes the Jets, the Knicks, and the Mets. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude, that's just so bad for you. And the thing is, even in Boston, even when the Red Sox, even when the Patriots sucked, at least the Celtics are winning championships.
Oh, yeah. That's why, and the Patriots are so forgotten for years.
Right. And then, so, like, the so Bruins are winning championships. On. And, you know, it was just like, and then, you know, other teams fell off and the Celtics were good again. It was like, you know, at least you had something to look forward to. But in New York right now, you got nothing. And the fucking Bills are, I mean, like, dude, New York right now should be the center of the sports world.
Team, the Bills.
They're in New York, though.
Yeah, but they're not a, like, a New York
team. They're more of a New York team than the Jets are. Fuck the Jets. They're in fucking New Jersey, okay? Anyone says, New Yorker, anyone from New Jersey can go screw. Well, wait a second. You're a Jets fan. You can't say that about New Jersey because your team plays in New Jersey, okay? Anyways, that's neither here nor there. But, yes, that. Listen, before we get off the NBA, Chris Broussard, do it. Do it.
Okay, so Chris Broussard didn't vote for Avery Bradley for all defensive team because he said that Avery Bradley was guarding, who was it, Devin Booker. Dropped 71 on the Celtics in December. And the thing is that Avery Bradley didn't play in that game. And so you lose all credibility, whatever credibility you had left. I mean, this is a guy who Skip Bayless said sold his soul to be with LeBron. Skip Bayless said that.
Skip Bayless.
So, I mean, Chris Broussard, you are on, we need some sort of list, our not list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Weekend Warrior not
we
list.
Can, I mean, he could be the first guy.
Yeah.
We could start it right now, the You Suck list. We got to come up with a better name than that. But, you know, we'll come up with something better than that, than You Suck.
And
but
who's our Who You Don't Suck
of that's the a week? Good. Who's our You Don't Suck of the week?
I'm going to go, and this will segue nicely into our next segment, John Farrell.
Oh, Johnny boy. Johnny Steelcock. Yeah. All right. Okay. All
right,
Johnny boy.
He doesn't suck.
He doesn't suck. Right now, he does not suck. I like that. Okay. Yeah. So, yes. Let's get into the Celtics.
Red Sox.
Oh, Red Sox. I just said Celtics. Holy shit, dude. We've been doing way too much basketball. So, let's get into the Red Sox. John Farrell gets tossed on Saturday. Was it Saturday night he got tossed?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
He was not pleased. Yeah. And, yeah, he was not pleased.
Show that he was human.
Hey,
I like that.
I like that. It's about time. Everyone kind of enjoyed that, and I don't know where it's been for years, but whatever, dude. Maybe the team needed a little kick in the ass, although they've been playing pretty well as of now. Mm-hmm. Right now, as we're taping, they're in first place. They were losing. The Yankees were winning. And so if that happens, then they'll fall back into a virtual tie, although the Red Sox will still be in first place because of percentage points. But they're tied for first, as long as the scores hold. But they've been playing pretty well, and honestly, their team just kind of blows right now.
They're so flawed.
I mean, look at all the holes they have. Other than Kimbrel, their bullpen kind of sucks, and they've been pitching really well lately. They have no third baseman. Their first baseman's been great, but Hanley's been up and down, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like their first baseman playing well, their second baseman playing well. Xander's been pretty good all year long. Mookie Betts is hitting like .270. I mean, he's playing well, but he's not hitting for average like he was last year. Benintendi's been pretty good. I mean, it's like, you know, these guys are up and down. I mean, JBJ was flirting with the Mendoza line earlier this year.
It
so
all
it's like
stems from not having Ortiz in the lineup.
Right. It definitely does.
You know, a guy who can produce like Ortiz, and you know, you need that in your lineup. They don't have it. Mitch Moreland's having a good year, but no pitcher's afraid of him.
No one
in the lineup that scares you.
Well, not only that, but I think forget about the pitchers being afraid of him. It's also the hitters having that utmost confidence in
him.
You know, so you could say, all right, Ortiz is getting up. I don't really have to get a hit
and
here.
And now it's like,
but I'm going to get a hit.
Now it's like, this guy's slumping. Right. You know, and so now I have to get a hit. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on guys like Bogarts and
And
Pedroia.
It just comes, what it comes back to is the offseason and not doing enough in the offseason. And again, we're left with the same problems we had before with, you know, and the reason that Sherrington got fired in the first place.
Who shouldn't have been fired.
I know. And we talked about that. But, you know, but look. Hanley Hanley and the fat load at third base.
He's on the DL with an ear infection.
Fucking ear infection, dude. I just like it. Just shit like that is like just fucking. He's cut
done.
Him. Just cut him.
He's done.
Like, why not just DFA his ass and say put him on waivers and be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, whatever, dude. They did the same thing last year when he played in the minors all year. He just kept playing in Pawtucket last year.
Who?
Pablo.
No, he was out all last year. You're thinking of Castillo.
Oh, Ruzan played in played in AAA last year. You're right.
And but, he's still there, and he's still getting paid. I think his contract's like $70 million or something.
Stupid. It's just stupid. And that's another one where you just look at it and you're like, they fucked that one up. Mm-hmm. And so you're dealing with the same problems. And the Thornburg trade, we can keep going back to it and talk about Travis Shaw, who hit another home run tonight. 17 homers this year. And the Red Sox third baseman, I think, combined for seven, right?
They have seven home runs and 29 RBIs
It's ugly. It's ugly. And look, if Devin Moreno is your guy at third, even if he doesn't hit great and he plays good defense, I'm fine with it.
But you can't have that on like more than one position because they have that with Jackie Bradley. He's probably one of the best defensive center fielders, if not the best defensive center fielder in baseball. You can't do that.
But he gets hot for stretch. I mean, at the end of the year, he has decent numbers because he gets hot for stretches.
Right. But you can't have that. You need consistency. This front office really boggles the mind because it's like, you know you have a need, but you don't address it.
Yeah.
You know, they had a need when Ortiz was gone. So sign Edwin Encarnacion. He's just, you know, not the same as Ortiz, but he can put up numbers like Ortiz. He can put up numbers better than Ortiz.
He can. That is true.
And then at third base, figure that out.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Although I will give him credit for one thing. I think it's pretty obvious. I was going to say after last night, but really all year. Drew Pomeranz is their second best pitcher on the staff.
He's a decent pitcher, yeah. He's an all-star last year.
But he's been pitching out of his mind this year. He really has been. And if you look at his numbers before the trade deadline or before the all-star game last year, he was an all-star last year. And and rightfully so, because he had a stellar first half last year and then fell off at the second half. And so we'll see if the same thing happens this year. You know, but he's been pitching extremely well. And so, you know, maybe it was the right decision to keep him after all. Who knows? We'll see what happens long term. But, you know, but I've liked what I've seen so far from him.
Yeah, the rotation's solid. I'll give him that.
Porcello's been terrible.
He's been terrible, but I don't know. I think Rodriguez, he's been okay.
Rodriguez's been okay. Yeah, I mean,
Sale, that shows how much I watch the Red Sox.
Sale's ridiculous. I mean, so, but, you know, it's, they're doing okay. They're all right? So we'll see what happens. But, you know, look, for the amount of problems they've had so far, to be in a tie for first place with the Yankees, who really, a lot of people didn't expect much from them, but they've had Aaron Judge, who's fucking, might win the Triple Crown this year, which is stupid. And so, you know, they don't have anyone really killing it right now, but they're winning as a team. They're kind of, you know, they're gritting some games out, even against shitty teams. But they're winning.
But yeah, that's all that matters, as long as you're winning.
So we'll see what happens.
If you have to grind out wins, as long as you get the win.
And if you get to the playoffs and you get smoked in the playoffs, then you get smoked in the playoffs. What are you going to do? I mean, but
do something in the off season.
Well, that's the real key. Yeah. So we'll see. So it'll be, I think, I like the way, I put it this way. I like the progression. I like the progression of Bradley and Betts and Benintendi.
Yeah.
And I like that Bogaerts is playing a little bit more consistently. And I like them using their young players and young guys and kind of moving up that way. So I'm happy with that. They're not competing for a championship this year. No. I don't think it's realistic. But if you can keep kind of make the playoffs and give someone a fight. I mean, they got swept last year. So at least win a playoff game next year, this year, and see what happens. I mean, look, you know, then, like you say, in the off season, then do something about it. Then fix the rotation or fix the bullpen, or you got Carson Smith coming back and Thornburg's coming back next year. And so, you know, but do something, fix your lineup, because I think really the lineup is what needs the most help.
Yeah, they need stability there.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyways, that's our brief. Anything else you want to add on the Red Sox before we
move on?
No, okay. So that's our brief Red Sox interjection. There'll be tons of Red Sox talk in the summer when there's nothing going on except for NFL training camp, so maybe there won't be a ton. But we'll try. We'll try to do some Red Sox stuff, I promise. So with that being said, I did want to talk about an NFL discussion that I think we have kind of haven't talked about yet, It's been talked about a lot by a lot of different people. I have some pretty strong opinions on it. I'm not sure if you do or not, but it'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
It's Colin Kaepernick. You know, the Colin Kaepernick situation. Well, if those of you that don't know what's going on, Kaepernick last year, if you lived under a rock last year, Colin Kaepernick wasn't standing for the national anthem. And so he was sitting down at the beginning, which I really kind of disagreed with. I didn't like that at all. I just thought it was disrespectful. You know, the national anthem's not about you. It's not a personal thing. It's about the country. And so, you know, you represent the country by standing for the national anthem. That's what you do. And so if you want to protest it, then you find ways to protest and do whatever. But he chose to do that, which is fine. That's his right, and he can do that. He was a starter in San Francisco. Okay, Nate Boyer, who was a former player who, was also a, I think, an Army Ranger, I believe, came and met with him and said, hey, you know, maybe instead of sitting, you can kneel during the national anthem. And so Kaepernick said, you know, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm not trying to, you know, upset anybody or disgrace anyone or do any of that stuff. But he said, I'm not happy with what's going on in the country right now. And so I want to protest in a way that isn't hurting anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to show some support for what I believe in. Okay. And so he took a knee, and he was a man about it. He came out. He said what he wanted to do. He said, I know I pissed some people off. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to take a stand against something, and I'm trying to do it peacefully and without insulting anybody. Okay, and so for that, I commended him. I was like, hey, you know, what is he going to do, right? That's okay. Some Patriots players did it, which I was fine with. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of gradually, I think McCourty and Hightower and a few other guys, I believe at the Super Bowl, instead of kneeling, I think they put either a fist or their helmets in the air.
They raised a fist.
Right, and so, which is fine. Like, if you want to show support and protest in that way, that's okay. That's your right. This is America. Like, mm-hmm. That's what we do in America, is we protest things when we're not happy with the way they're going. They were doing it without offending anyone. They were doing it without demonizing anybody. And they were doing it without hurting anybody. And so, to me, I was all for that. Okay? But that's not what this is about. I'm sorry, people. That's not what this is about. It's not about Colin Kaepernick protesting the national anthem. It's not about that. Which, by the way, he's already come out this year and said he won't be doing that this year.
Right.
So, whatever. I mean, things have changed greatly since last season, obviously. Clearly. Right? But either way. So, he's not protesting anymore, which is fine. It's not about that. He sucks at football.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. He's, especially that position, once you lose it, you don't get it back. You know, and if you have nothing to offer, then no one's going to... It's not like he's like a defensive lineman.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the bottom line, whether you agree with what Kaepernick's doing or not. I mean, for me, I think it's a peaceful protest, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's kind of... BS that the NFL kind of blames him for the low ratings, which I think is total bullshit, because first of all, no one's going to watch a 4-12 team anyways.
No.
And, you know, that's just dumb. And that's just the NFL, and I'm not surprised that they're taking that stance, because they're stupid.
Right.
But, I mean, good for him for doing it. I think that I like it when athletes, because they have such power. You know, they're on TV all the time. They, you know, they're on magazines and the internet and everything. You know, I like it when a lot of them take a social stance if it's, you know, a good cause. And I feel like this was a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of problems in the country, and it's okay for a guy to talk about it. It's like, you know, it's not Ali, you know, not going to Vietnam because he didn't agree with the war. But it's, you know, kind of like a very minor version of that.
Right. Well, and I'm with you on that. And peaceful is totally right, right? It's a peaceful protest.
It's not like he's like pissing on the American flag in right. the 50-yard line.
Right, which would be a little excessive. And that way I would understand that, right? But the thing that you have to understand is this.
LeVar Ball's listening. He's got an idea.
Oh, God. But don't give LeVar any ideas. If you're listening, LeVar... Send us some big ball brand stuff. I would gladly wear it, my friend.
I will wear a Stan Yolane shirt. I wear that all the time.
Oh, man. Yep. Anyways, no, this is what you have to understand about NFL owners. They only see one thing. And that's the bottom line, which is making them money. And the fact of the matter is, can you win me football games? And if you can win me football games, I'm willing to overlook everything else. And I mean everything else. See Michael Vick. See Greg Hardy. See Ray Lewis. Right? But if you can't and you suck.
See the 1996 Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, right? Everyone on that team, right? But Lawrence Taylor, right? All these guys. And, and it's been going on forever. If you can play and you're that good, you're getting another shot. You're getting 20 other shots. Mm-hmm. It's not a race thing. People are trying to turn it into a race thing, and it's like, dude, it's not a race thing. I'm sorry, but when Greg Hardy beat his girlfriend, last I checked, Greg Hardy isn't white. Now, I don't know. I don't think he is. Right? Michael Vick, I'm pretty sure he's not white. So, like, it's not a race thing. And I understand the thing that happened with Josh Brown, right? The fucking Giants, like, go fuck yourself. Like, trying to fucking push all this shit under the rug. And the NFL colluding with them to try to, you know, suppress all the statement. Yeah. Like, fuck you for trying to do that, okay? And I realize that he's white, okay? He's a kicker. And they really didn't want to go out and find another kicker. And so they said, well, fuck it. Who cares if he's got a few domestics? It's no big deal. We'll just brush it under the rug and no one will know about it. And thank goodness somebody made some fucking noise and that didn't fly. But this has been happening forever. It's not about race. It's not. Don't try to make it about race. Don't try to say he doesn't have a job because he's protesting the American flag. And by the way, you're right that he doesn't have a job because he's protesting the American flag. You're right about that. But it has nothing to do with his race or his protest. It has to do with the fact that he is now a distraction. And I look at the distraction as in two ways. Can you help my team? Can you not help my team? If you can come in and be a legitimate starter and help my team, then I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't care what the distraction is because you can help me win. If you can't, then I'm not dealing with your shit. End of story. Look at Ray Rice. How come Greg Hardy got a job when Ray Rice couldn't get a job? It's because Ray Rice, who was really good for a while, sucked. And so it was like...
Well, he also... I mean, once that film came out...
Well, that's true.
That's the whole thing. He got two games before that.
That's true. But look at Joe Mixon.
Well, yeah, that's
right? A good point. So there's film on Joe Mixon, but he can still play. So they took him in the third round. So it's like... You know, so if you can play and help the team, I don't care what your background looks like. It doesn't matter. I'm going to take a chance on you.
But that's not right.
Clearly.
Well, it's not right at all. I mean, Pac-Man Jones shouldn't be in the league. He paralyzed the guy. But because Kaepernick protests the flag, he's not in the league. And that's not right, and that's stupid.
And you're right about
because
that.
Because people forget it's the salute to the troops thing, and that doesn't look good for them.
No.
So they're not going to let him back in the league, and that's hypocritical.
It's just, look, the NFL, and you can blame the owners if you want. Blame anyone you want. And you can blame the coaches, too, if you want. But,
well, it's the owners, it's the TV deal. You know,
see, I don't think it has... See, to me, I don't think it has anything to do with the TV deal, to me. I just think it has to do when the coach looks at it and says...
Yeah, you're probably...
What can I deal with? What can this team deal with? If this team could deal with some guy being an idiot, or not even, you know, whatever, deal with his baggage, right? Now, again, Kaepernick, we both said it. I don't think it's crap. It's reasonable what he's doing. But there are a lot of people that have a problem with it. And so can you deal with that negative publicity? Can he help you with that?
But I think he should at least... get a tryout, or, you know,
I would think,
like, friggin' the Seahawks were talking about signing them, and they signed Austin Davis.
Yeah,
you know, and
well, which is true, but again, bullshit. It's just the same. It goes back, I think, to the same thing where they just look at it and say the baggage outweighs what he can do for us as a franchise. This guy, especially in Seattle, he's never going to play. Never.
No, he's never going to play. But the Patriots still signed Tebow for the preseason.
Well, you're right.
At the time, he was the biggest distraction in the world.
That's true, but Tebow was a different story, and I think...
But it's similar as far as, you know, sure, it's like opposite types of publicity. I mean, it's good, I guess, right?
Yeah, but see, I really think...
Or an image thing.
I really think, though, that Belichick really thought he could get something from Tebow. I really do. I really think he thought he could get something from Tebow, and, you know, and then his shirt just magically appeared in the store, Which, by the way, Colin Kaepernick had the number one selling jersey last year, so it's not like it's a money thing. I just think for the coaches, they look at it and say, "This guy gives me nothing."
As a quarterback, the league's telling the team, like the league offices are telling the teams, "Don't sign this guy."
Really?
Yeah.
You really think so?
I do.
Holy shit, that would be if that ever came out.
They're associated with police. They're associated with the military.
Yeah, but you know what though?
They have this image of, you know, all American. It's America's pastime. We can't have this guy with an afro kneeling to the national anthem.
If that's the case, if that ever came out and that really was the case, the NFL would and certainly should, if they didn't, get fucking raked over the coals for that, because that is unacceptable.
It is, because the guy sucks, but, you know, only 32 guys can be a quarterback in the league.
Right.
You know? And so give this guy a chance. He was in a Super Bowl a few years ago, and he sucked last year, but look at all the shit he was going through last year, too. And I know it was a lot of self-imposed shit, but...
Yeah. Well, he had a good year in 11, and that was it.
People figured out the run. He was decent the next year.
Nah, he was all right.
He went to the playoffs.
He was on my fantasy team. It wasn't very good.
Oh, well. the team was good. I mean...
Well, the team was good because of the defense. I mean... Right, I don't know.
You need the quarterback, and
that's true.
Yeah, I agree that 11 was really his only good year, but you know, who gets a job first, Johnny Manziel or?
Oh my lord! If Johnny Manziel gets a job before Colin Kaepernick, then you know that the system is fucked, right? Yeah. I mean, I guess, right? But look,
total train wreck. I thought he was the future. I'm such an idiot,
dude. You and a lot of other people. Fucking, who the hell traded? Who traded up to get him?
Cleveland.
Didn't Cleveland trade up to get him?
Yeah.
Was it Mike Lombardi? Was Mike Lombardi running the Browns at that point? Nice work, Mike. He's consulting with the Patriots. But, look, if what you say is true, if what you think is true, and the NFL is colluding to keep him out, then shame on them. Because he really deserves another shot, but he kind of sucks. I mean, it's...
Sure, he sucks, but so many other guys suck and get chances.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things where
it's a combination, right?
Right. Exactly. How many people in Seattle have been talking about Austin Davis?
The baggage and, you know, the lack of talent anymore.
Right. And that's really it, right? And you say Pac-Man Jones, right? He shouldn't be in the league, but he can play. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL, and that's the only thing that matters. And I agree with you, it's not right, but it's never going to change. It's been like that forever, you know?
And I'm surprised, really, Ray Rice hasn't gotten a job, at least. And like you said, he kind of sucks now.
Well, that's what, you know, he was good for a while, and then he kind of tailed off for a few years, and then the domestic thing happened, and they were like, no one's taking a shot. Because look at fucking Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I was just going to say him.
Right? He's still getting chances.
Yeah.
And because he was the best running back in the NFL, then he hurt his knee. And so now it's like, well, he's got the domestic thing, but... He hurt his knee. He still hasn't proven. Let's give him a shot. If he sucks in New Orleans the first year and New Orleans cuts him, he's never getting a job ever again.
Yeah.
And again, it's just the baggage versus what happened, right? And so, you know, look, I don't think it's baggage with Kaepernick, but I understand it. John Maher was saying that he got a ton of letters of people saying don't sign this guy, which is just
who writes letters? He's full of shit.
You know what, though? It wouldn't surprise me if a bunch of old people got together and wrote letters, right? I mean, why not? You know, because, screw that guy for doing that. It's like, you know, but look, people will be offended by anything. And it's true that people will be offended by anything. But again...
Especially football fans. Football fans are the touchiest sports fans.
It's true. You're very true, very right about that. But I mean, so...
Like we just went through 2.5 years of Deflategate.
Gosh, don't even get me started on Deflategate.
We'll get to the anniversary special someday.
But that's, Lord. Please go on. But it's just, you know, that the whole thing. And look, the NFL I wouldn't put it past the NFL to be colluding with people. They colluded with the Giants. They colluded with the Ravens. And some would say they colluded with the Patriots on Spygate, although I disagree with that. But some would say that. And supposedly the owners were pissed that that happened. Well, are they pissed about the Giants? Are they pissed at the Ravens? Whatever. The NFL colludes with teams all the time. It's just I wonder if they're colluding with all 32 teams to say, don't sign this guy. Maybe they are.
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
that would be a fucking bombshell.
I'm sure that happened
in,
you know, you go back in 07, or yeah, was it 07 or 08 when Barry Bonds when he got cut by the Giants.
That's true, I suppose.
The league probably colluded, you know, because he still had, I mean...
He still had something.
You'd think an American League team would have given him a chance.
Right, yeah, at DH, for sure. Yeah. Well, it's possible. It's possible. That would be a fucking bombshell, though, if that ever came out.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, I know
shit.
It's happened before with players in Major League Baseball. For whatever reason, I know I've heard of, you know, the league colluding to, you know, just don't sign this guy.
Well, which is true, but it's not, the Kaepernick thing would be a much bigger story.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just right. saying that there's other examples yeah. of collusion.
Oh, and you, shit, you could be right, and that yeah. would be fucking wild.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Possible he's going to get picked up by someone. Maybe he doesn't. So,
I think he will.
I just think by the end, I think at some point, someone in training camp is going to say, ah, oh, fuck it, we'll give him a shot.
Yeah.
Because at that point, there's less to talk about every day. You know, you're not sitting in the off season waiting, oh, the anticipation of every single practice. And then, you know, they go there a few times, and then it dies down.
Yeah. I mean, regardless, probably. His career is over. You know, he'll get picked up by a team, maybe another team after that. But
he'll never be who he was. No, it was a gimmick offense, right? It was a read option. Yeah. The NFL figured it out, and that was the end of that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all right, let's move on. Let's move on to this week in sports history. Yeah. I know there's two kind
dark
of crazy
week.
Ones yeah. this time. start with the less dark one, would
okay.
you, please?
So 20 years ago tonight, which is June 28th,
yep.
It was Tyson Holyfield 2 in Las Vegas. And as we all know what happened, Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear off. Well, his earlobe. And it was found by the janitor who was cleaning
up. Was it really?
He was cleaning up near ringside after everybody left. And
holy shit.
He put it in ice and Evander Holyfield had it stitched on.
Boom. And the only question I have, right, was there a gap? Was there, like, two pieces that got taken out or one whole piece?
Just the one whole piece.
Because Tyson's got that big gap in his front teeth, right? So, like, is there, like, one little, like, sliver hanging down for the gap
yeah,
or, like...
It's like the John Voight pencil.
It's just, like... But it was a whole... Just a yeah. whole chunk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
But, yeah, that fight, if you ask me, it was Tyson's way out because he couldn't beat Holyfield. And Tyson was the type of fighter is once... another fighter isn't intimidated by you, you're just trying to get out of there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for sure Tyson was just like, fuck this.
In his defense, I've watched that fight a couple of times. It's a short fight, only like three rounds. But Holyfield is headbutting the shit out of him. And I know a lot of it's coincidental, but that's got to be frustrating. And when you're a lunatic like Mike Tyson and someone keeps headbutting your face when you're trying to kill them,
yeah,
that's frustrating.
Truth. So. Truth. All right. Okay. That's a good one. 20 years ago today.
20 years ago. I remember shit. That.
I remember when that happened. It was like crazy news.
Yeah. I got that fight.
Did you?
Yep.
Pay-per-view. All right. Okay. Yeah.
It's a crazy fight. It was a crazy night because I was 20 years ago? So I was about 11.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought like there was going to be a riot. I thought someone was going to get killed. I just couldn't believe it. It's just one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, did he really just do that?
Yeah, wild. And
yeah, totally wild. It was crazy. But speaking of holy shit, did he really just do that?
Oh, God.
10 years ago.
Segue,
10 years ago this past weekend, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Chris Benoit, killed his wife and his son and then himself all in a span of 3 days.
It was 3 days?
It was, well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He killed his wife on Friday. Killed his son Saturday morning and then killed himself on Sunday.
Jesus Christ.
It's, as a wrestling fan, it's the most surreal, most bizarre story ever. Like, there's that shadow still hangs over it. And, you know, you ask any wrestling fan to talk about Chris Benoit, and there's this, like, you know, that just, you know, kind of a sadness about it because it's like he's the last person, from all accounts by other wrestlers, to do something like that. And, it was just insane. And a couple of crazy things about that. Nobody knows when the WWE found out. So what happened was he sent a couple of cryptic text messages to a couple of other wrestlers. And from what I recall, he wrote, the dogs are in the pool house and the garage door is opened. And he texted two wrestlers that at 4 a.m, the day he killed himself. And so he called in, and Chris Benoit was a loyal wrestler, never missed a day. And so everyone was like kind of like weirded out by that, but no one ever expected this.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing about this, and no one talks about it, it's kind of like if you, you know, look into 9/11 conspiracies, it's like the building seven of this. Nancy was his wife, Nancy Benoit. Her death was reported on Wikipedia before the news broke.
What?
Nobody knows how. And then it turns out that some guy, you know, they found his IP address, they followed it, and just some guy randomly put it up that night as a prank. That's their story.
Yeah.
And it's pretty obvious that Chris Benoit did that, because
he would think.
Yeah, because I've heard a story that they went through his computer and his last Google search was like how to hang yourself or something.
And Jesus Christ.
What it at the time everyone was saying that it was because of steroids.
Right.
Now we know it was CTE.
Right.
And that's a really scary thing, because
it's wicked scary.
It's football players, it's wrestlers, and it's hockey players. And
even some soccer players too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
96% of NFL players who've had their brains examined after they died have had CTE.
Jesus
96. Christ. And Brady wants to play till he's 47.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No kidding. And, well, it might already be too late for him.
Yeah. But it was chair shots, it was flying headbutts from the top rope, and you're just hitting canvas, hard canvas.
Right.
For 20 years. And Chris Benoit was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He was a little guy, did a lot of things that no one else was doing at the time. And now it's like he never existed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But real quick, his brain was studied by this guy, Chris Nowinski, who was a former wrestler. And he's a doctor at Boston University. And he said that the brain was the equivalent of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient.
Jeez.
And he studied like all football players, like Junior Seau and Dave Dewison. So.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, absolutely terrifying, you know, horrific.
Because that could happen again.
Well, it could.
And I've read that I think Dave Dewison threatened to kill his family before he killed himself.
Yeah. I mean, it's really terrifying when you think about it and you think about what these guys are going through. And look, I mean, you know, it's obviously it's prolonged stuff, but, you know, if a kid plays football in elementary school and middle school and high school and college, even if he doesn't go to the pros,
yeah, it's like,
you know, that kid could have CTE.
It's 76% of people who played football than to play in the NFL have some right. form of CTE.
Ugh, it's terrifying when you really think about it. It's really scary.
And the NFL won't acknowledge it.
No, and they understand that their sport causes concussions, and concussions are good, and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. but they still won't acknowledge the fact that, you know, concussions are that bad for you, and they're that...
And the NHL won't acknowledge it either.
No, nobody will. And they don't want to, and the reason why is because if they did, you know, obviously they'd be facing multiple lawsuits.
Right.
We get that, right? But, you know, at the same time, it's still, we all know, what the deal is, and I have a son, and I love football, and I hope he doesn't play. I really do. I hope he doesn't play, because it's terrifying. You know, you think about it, I mean, it's really scary. So, anyways, so that's our incredibly morbid this week in sports history. hopefully this current week in sports history will be a little bit better than those. But nevertheless. So we'll get on to our Warrior Wonder Watch. The Warrior Wonder Watch is the CFL this year.
Yes.
It's the Canadian Football League, for those of you who don't know.
Week 1 was last week.
Week 2 this week.
Yes.
And tomorrow night, as a matter of fact, June 29th, tomorrow night, is the rematch of the Grey Cup, which is kind of like the Super Bowl.
It is.
In the CFL. Yeah. It's the rematch of the Grey Cup. It's the Ottawa Red Blacks versus the Calgary Stampeders. Ottawa won the championship last year. This game is in Calgary. So check that one out. I believe it's on an ESPN affiliate. Typically they are on ESPN affiliates.
Like Sunday nights or something, they show them on ESPN or ESPN2.
Okay.
Check your local listings.
Because it's repeat. They replay it, right? They don't show it live. They show it after
I think they're showing them live this year.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so maybe you can catch that one. So because I believe it's tomorrow night. But it is this weekend for sure. So
they have the, what is it, the Rouge.
A
1-point play. It's when you kick the ball into the end zone.
Right.
And it doesn't get returned out, or the ball's not touched.
Right.
Kicking and it team stays gets a point.
There, right? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They have some weird rules.
Yeah, it's a wider field, and they have the goalposts and like the middle of the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre.
And Vince Young just got cut.
Vince Young.
From Saskatchewan.
Ooh, another motherfucker. Vince Young. Listen, Vince Young. It's the same thing, right? Well, how come I'm not in the league, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is in the league, right? It's got to be because I'm a black. Like, shut up, Vince Young. You just got cut from the CFL. The Canadian Football League just cut your ass. You're not playing in the NFL, Vince Young. Get it through your fat dome. And if you see a picture of Vince Young, it truly is a fat dome by now.
Bigger bust, so, him or Jamarcus Russell?
Jamarcus Russell.
I say Vince Young.
What'd Jamarcus Russell ever do?
I know, but like, I had higher hopes for Vince Young.
Well, that's true, but so Jamarcus Russell...
In that way, he's the bigger bust.
But Jamarcus Russell was a worse player.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And he was drafted number one overall. Right?
Yeah, that's so true, too.
But it's close. Yeah. It's definitely close. But I would say Jamarcus Russell is more shitty than Vince mm-hmm. Young.
Like the coaches would make up plays, and then like they would hand him a fake playbook, and they would ask him about it, and he'd be like, "Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about." Like, no, you don't.
That's just, come on, buddy. Yeah. Oh, Jamarcus, what a fucking mess that guy was. Anyways, all right. Anyways, so that's it. That's it for this week's edition of Weekend Warriors. What the hell's the name of our podcast?
Weekend Warrior Podcast.
That's it. Weekend Warrior Podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Once again, you can find us on Twitter at WKNDWARPOD. Also, Gmail, same thing, WKNDWARPOD@gmail.com. That's it. We'll see you next week. Next week, we'll have, hopefully, fingers crossed, have some good news about some Celtics free agency /trade talks. And maybe we'll start talking a little NFL as well.
And if they don't, more Chris Benoit stories for everyone.
Oh, please, no. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll do some more WWE. Yeah. So, all right, fellas, we're going to play you guys out with some MDOT. Have a good week.